flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Sam Dykstra joins us now from MLB Pipeline. Follow him on Twitter at Sam Dykstra, MILB. Sam, are you letting somebody win?
No, I'm never letting anybody win. But also, I'm glad he's learning that lesson now rather than in a Vegas like casino in 10, 15 years when it's serious money and not nickel dime poker, you know?
My kid's got like these poker books he's reading on theories and all this other stuff. Like, he's all in. He's one of the kids that always wins. So for him, it's all good. But his buddy has apparently had it and is done hosting people coming over. They went out and bought like a poker table for this kid's basement, the whole deal. And now the kid's like, yeah, I don't think I want to do this anymore. Oh my God. Sam, I want to get your thoughts on the Brewers prospect list. Because they're all over the place. Obviously, you guys have yours as well. And I got an email the other day, because I'm subscribed to your email, and you have names on there, top 6 names or whatever that intrigue you, I guess, going into next year. And to nobody's surprise, every Brewers fan's favorite prospect that we've never seen play in the United States that we've only heard about is Jesus Madé. Talk about how his legend is growing here from last summer.
Yeah, Jesus Madé. I mean, you look at it this time last year, he had just signed for $950,000. Was one of the Milwaukee top signings in the international class, but wasn't the top guy by any. And then just absolutely broke out in the Dominican Summer League. And he had great numbers there. I mean, you can look at him. He was only 17 years old, batting .331, had a 10-12 OPS. But it was really the underlying data that got us all so excited. He didn't chase much outside of the zone, only had a 15% chase rate. He made contact on 89% of his swings, and he was running 90th percentile exit velocities that were right there with current major leaguers. That's not adjusted for age. That's not adjusted for level, any of that. It was right in line with Jose Ramirez and Jazz Chisholm Jr. right now as a switch hitter at just 17 years old. You can project that moving forward. The power is only going to get better as he continues to grow into his body. You watch some clips of him hitting. It's like a spring up there, especially from the left side where he got most of his experience in the DSL. He's just waiting for his pitch, and when it comes, he unloads to the pull side. There's a lot to like there, and that newsletter you're referencing was the 6 prospects we debated most as part of our top 100. Where are we going to place these guys? And normally we don't rank guys coming out of the DSL that highly because it's basically a glorified high school league. But everything Madé was doing and everything that underlying data was telling us was push him higher and higher and higher until we settled at number 56. But if he carries this over to single A ball, where he's likely going to start out the year in 2025, he's a top 25, top 10 prospect in baseball.
So realistically, 17 years old, we went through this with Jackson Chourio already, obviously. What then are expectations for him coming over in his first year?
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty high. I mean, talking to people with the Brewers, compare him to Chourio too, because he's on that same track. Where Made is now, he's more physical than Chourio was. Now, Chourio was more springy, a little bit more like a string bean. He was somebody who moved from shortstop to the outfield, so he was still learning in position, maybe a little faster, a little bit more athletic, but Made has more power right now than Chourio.
His legs are thicker. His legs are pretty thick. His thighs are thick.
Yeah. I mean, it's all there right now, better than where Chourio was. Now, everything's worked out for Chourio after that. But as we sit here now, I mean, you look at like Yoffery Rodriguez and Luis Lara, two guys that got aggressive with out of the DSL. Made's much better than either of those guys were at the same stage.
Oh, man. I'm getting excited. Sam Dykstra, MLB Pipeline, talking Brewers prospects. Follow him on Twitter at Sam Dykstra. MILB. Another guy that obviously is on the list who missed the majority of last year because he was hurt is Jefferson Cuero, that catching prospect. There's been talk here about Contreras and whether or not they can get him to sign an extension. Doesn't look like that's going to happen, so they have him for a couple of more years. How does Cuero profile potentially in Milwaukee here if they decide to move on from Contreras in the next couple of years?
Yeah, with Cuero, I mean, it was really unfortunate last year because we thought his major league debut was going to come in 2024, and then first game with AAA Nashville, tears his labrum in his right shoulder, diving back to the bag. It's always been a really advanced defensive case for Jefferson Cuero. He moves really well behind the plate. He frames well. He works with pitchers really well. He throws really well, too. Now we have some questions about what that throwing is going to look like coming off the shoulder, and it sounds like Milwaukee's going to protect him a little bit coming out of the gate. He might play catcher half the week, DH the other part of the week. It's probably just an average bat in all, but like with that advanced defensive profile, you're looking at somebody like Patrick Bailey of the San Francisco Giants, who everything is on the defensive side for him, but that's still a very, very valuable player. Cuero could be a very good backup catcher to Contreras, you know, if he makes the roster at some point this year and proves his health. Or he could be, you know, again, just a very good defensive first starting catcher if they ever decide to move on from Contreras by a trade or like via free agency.
When we talk about Jacob Mizorowski, that's another guy who, as he's been coming up through the minor leagues, everybody was high on because of how hard he throws the ball, right? He's throwing 100 plus miles an hour, but then there's always been debate about can he control it? Can he harness it? Is he a starter? Is he a reliever? Is he a closer? How does he profile in your mind with the idea that he probably gets to the major league level at some point in 25?
Yeah, right now it's looking more and more like a reliever, right? Like he made AAA Nashville at the end of last year. They moved him to the bullpen, I think with an eye on potentially helping out the team in the stretch. And I was surprised that he didn't get called up, just because this stuff is so good. We put an 80 grade on the 20 to 80 scouting scale on his fastball, not just for the velocity, but the extension. He stands it up there at 6'7". He almost looks like all elbows and knees the way he delivers it and gets so close to the plate, throwing 97 to 99, touching 100+. That gives no reaction time to the hitter. He just blows it by guys. But the command continues to be a problem. He doesn't always know where it's going. He can't guide the ball well into the zone. So even though he's got a good curveball, he's got a really hard slider in the low 90s. If you don't know where it's going, you're looking more and more like a reliever. The comp I always get with him is the right-handed Josh Hader, and it's looking more and more like that's a possibility for him. That's why we ranked him at number 100. Yes, we normally don't rank relievers because there are so many starting pitcher prospects out there. But if you could be a right-handed Josh Hader, I mean, we just saw Josh Hader get a massive contract on the free agency market. Those types of relievers are becoming more and more valuable in today's game.
And the Brewers seemingly find relievers like they're growing on trees at this point. I mean, they've had so many relievers that they've been able to turn around and make into something. Hader, Devin Williams, but even before that, you go through Brewers history and find guys that they've been able to, you know, turn into something and then be able to move away from that person and bring somebody else in to be a closer. So that would be a nice get for the Brewers if he ends up being a closer. I think it would be better, though, if they could figure out how to harness his control and make him a starter at this point. Another guy that people are hot to trot about is Cooper.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pratt, the young shortstop coming up throughout the farm system, a guy that a lot of people thought the previous year probably would have been at the top of the draft had he been able to come out. And then through the pressure of going through all the different things with teams and workouts and everything else, he kind of fell. Brewers give him in the sixth round. They pay him second round money, bonus money, in order to get it done. And it looks like that was a great pick.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of teams out there that wish they knew Cooper Pratt was willing to sign for second-round money once he was getting past the round. Milwaukee seems to have done really, really well there, both in draft strategy and having enough money to give him second-round money, but also just keeping in contact with the player. Hey, is this going to work out? Because everything so far has looked really good for Cooper Pratt. He reached Double-A at the tail end of last year, just in time for the postseason. He is from Mississippi, so getting to play for Biloxi, a little bit of a special treat for him at the end of the year. But it's good bat-to-ball skills. Everything I hear about the defense has been really stellar. It's gold glove winning defense technically at this point. He won a minor league gold glove last year. He's more steady there than flashy, but he also has a strong arm. And hearing from scouts about his arm, it's not just the arm strength, it's the accuracy. He's going to hit you in the letters every time, and I can't tell you how much infield coordinators value that type of arm. So if he just gets to average power, and there's every potential that he could do that, he's 6'4" now, he's going to build out that frame a little bit, and he hit for more power as the year went on last year. He could be not a stellar five-tool player at the shortstop position, but a very solid in all five facets of the game player there, and that's extremely valuable considering, you know, what we know of the shortstop position.
I want to talk about a couple of these international guys that they signed as well. Sam Dykstra, follow him on Twitter at Sam Dykstra, MILB. You'll hear him all the time throughout the Brewer season. I love having him on. Follow him as well at MLB Pipeline. The Brewers get three of the top 50 international prospects in the international signing period. Two of them outfielders, one of them a shortstop. And Charlie Usen and I were talking the other day as far as, you know, it feels like they do better almost with international signings the last few years than they have with the draft.
Yeah, I mean, you know, talk about Churio, talk about Caro, talk about Made. They keep finding these guys and developing them really well. So when they sign somebody like a Kenny Fenelon for $1.3 million, who's our number 36 international prospect, you already get more intrigued because they're like, okay, what are the Brewers seeing here? You know, right now we have a 55, which is above average for power, above average run, above average field on him. It's just, what is the hit tool going to be? But, you know, if they can work wonders with him like they did with Made or like Luis Pena, who was another DSL standout last year, that's a really good starter kit to get a good fielder who can hit for power and run. So maybe they see something that they can iron out. He's a right-handed bat, only 6 foot right now, but I'm sure he's going to grow from there. I think there's a lot to Kenny Fenelon, and because of that track record, you have to keep tabs on their top international signing.
If they were to move away from this international signing period and just make one draft with everybody and change the rules like some have wanted, do you think that would help or hurt smaller markets?
It would be interesting. I think it might. Because right now with the international system, everybody is capped at a certain amount of money that they can spend.
Correct.
So, yes, Roky Sasaki going to the Dodgers doesn't look great for this argument. But it's not like the Dodgers have a $25 million budget and the Brewers have $5 million. It's within $3, $4 million each. I think the current system kind of benefits them because they're able to get a Jesus Made. If you flatten it out, it's not going to be as great. But I think if they were to institute an international draft, it would be separate from the first-year player draft that we see for the Americans, Canadians, and Puerto Ricans. I think you'd still have to do it differently because you would get players out of the Dominican at 16, comparing them to Americans who are at youngest, 17 or 18. It would be a little bit of a sticky situation. Maybe decades down the line, everything's in a big draft and everybody's getting drafted at 18, but I think the first step would be an international draft separate from the Rule 4 draft.
Your thoughts on the Brewers farm system. I know you don't have the top prospects out for the Brewers yet on MLB Pipeline, but just your feel of kind of what you saw last year, what you're kind of expecting this year. Brewers, are they top third in baseball, top half, bottom half? Where do you think the Brewers will end up being when we start the season here coming up at the end of March?
I would put them in the top 10 right now for sure. It's a very deep system. They don't have, like, maybe Jesus Madé turns into that superstar, like we were saying earlier, a top 25, top 10 guy. They don't have that right now. Jefferson Caro right now ranks us just, you know, inside the top. But I really like their depth at the third base spot. Mike Bovey, who ranked on our top 10 third base position player list, I really like his swing. He makes a ton of contact. It's elite. In terms of contact level, and he's already at AA. Eric Batanti has tons of power. Luke Adams gets hit a lot, gets on base a lot, is built like a house and should hit for more power as he ages as well. I really like their depth at that spot. And then 2 years ago, their first-round pick was Brock Wilkin, who had a really difficult year last year, but hopefully can move on beyond that because he got hit in the face very early on, and I don't think he ever fully recovered, at least in terms of his approach. So I like that. They have some interesting arms. Logan Henderson is the guy I'm going to watch this year. Brett Witkowski was kind of a pop-up name in 2024. And when we were talking about they keep finding these relievers, keep an eye on Craig Yoho.
Yeah, he should be in the Major League bullpen, don't you think? Big change-up guy?
I think so. I think he was right there with Mizorowski for guys they were considering calling up at the tail end of 2024. That changeup is insanely good.
Better than Devin Williams?
What's that?
Is it better than Devin Williams?
I won't say anybody's changeup is better than Devin Williams. Devin Williams' pitch was insane that it's on its own level. But if you want to, if we're missing the airbender and you're looking for that next pitch that could come, check out Craig Yoho highlights. It's that good.
Oh, see, I cannot wait for the season to begin. I'm telling you, since about mid-November, I've been itching for baseball to start. I know how you do it. I mean, you do this for a living. You got to be going stir crazy waiting for baseball to start.
It felt a little like spring when I walked into work here in New York this morning, so that certainly helped. But yeah, writing about these guys, talking about these guys, it's great to review what they did. I can't wait to write about what they are doing.
Yes.
That's when it gets really exciting.
Yep, I'm with you. Sam Dykstra, follow him again on Twitter at Sam Dykstra, MILB, and of course, MLB Pipeline. Check out all the great work they do over there, too. Sam, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much as always.